thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah with his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Make matters worse. Now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Make matters worse. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, as we'll break in another few verses in a minute, but obviously his brothers were away feeding the sheep, and so Jacob sends him to them. And now we're going to break in at verse 19. "Then they said to one another, 'Look, the dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.' But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Oh, let us not kill him.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father.'" Verse 23, "So he came. It came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.' And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, 'The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?' So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?' And he recognized it and said, 'It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. I just want to flick to the verse. Roll forward, way in time, away in time, Joseph. Now married, sons. And we read in Genesis chapter 41, verse 52, "And the name of the second son, he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And that is the verse that I'm taking my theme and my title from this morning: fruitful through affliction. Fruitful through affliction. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for what we've already heard this morning of your amazing grace and of your astounding provision in the face of adversity. We thank you, Lord, that Andy has brought us that account this morning that shows us, Lord, of your provision, perhaps not in the way that we would ever consider it, but according to your plan, your purpose, your provision. We thank you, Lord. You are the one in whom we trust. You are the one, Lord, to whom we lift up our eyes this morning. From whence comes our help? Our help comes from you, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We pray, O God, give grace this morning, Lord, just to deliver this brief message, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, 13 chapters of Genesis, that's chapter 37 and chapters 39 through 50, are dedicated to the life of Joseph. More than any other patriarch, including Abraham, God surely must have something very significant to say to us if he should extend this whole episode of Joseph to 13 chapters of this book. Joseph was Jacob's second youngest son, Benjamin being the youngest, born to him by Rachel. We see in Genesis 30, verse 24, the wife whom he loved the most. Genesis 29, 30. You can already see a flaw in the life of Jacob. Loving the most is not a good idea. Joseph, is 17 years of age when we're introduced to him as a fellow shepherd with his brothers. But he is treated very differently from any of his brothers by his father, Jacob. Not a good thing, parents, to treat one child differently from the rest. You'll hear about it for years to come, even this one small thing. And after many unexpected twists and turns and 13 years of toil and difficulties and affliction, God blessed Joseph in an unimaginable way, or should we say in unimaginable ways. It's the story of the intricate plan of an amazing sovereign God, whereby Joseph becomes second to the most powerful man in Egypt. Genesis 41, 41 to 44. And thereafter, God blesses Joseph with two sons. We read of one for the sake of time, but Genesis 41 there, and his name, the name of the first son, is Manasseh, which means forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. because God caused him to forget all his toil of the past. And then, of course, he named his second son Ephraim, from where I have drawn our title this morning, which means being fruitful through affliction. Fruitful through affliction. The word affliction is otherwise translated in other versions as difficulty, suffering, hardship, pain. That's why Andy's account this morning was so apt. Because I want to knock on the head the popularist evangelicalism that is prevalent in so many circles, not just in the States, as we know, but even in our country, whereby if you do X, Y, Z, and tick all these boxes, God will bless you and you will be able to name it and claim it and have this and that and the other. And God does not provide like that always. In fact, very rarely. But there is affliction, there is hardship, there is suffering in the life of the Christian. And that is why so many young Christians sometimes have fallen away, because they say, I have ticked the boxes. I have done X, Y, and Z, as this preacher has said, and it hasn't turned out for me like that. In fact, I am being persecuted. I am being hounded at school. Things are not going my way. I am not blessed the way that preacher said I would have prosperity, and everything would just go swimmingly along on the crest of a wave and the wisp of a wind. Or Harry the Mouse is thinking good things for anyone who read that book to their children. It's not like that. But God will make you fruitful in affliction. That's the truth. There will come times of difficulty. There will come times of hardship. There will come times of pain at various times in the lives of believers. And when we recognize that and recognize that God will be with us in those times and provide for us in those times and bless us in those times, then we will be balanced Christians who will know our God and be enabled to walk with him and walk in joy and in peace and not in turmoil of mind thinking, God hasn't done it the way that some of these prosperity people have said he would. He doesn't work like that always. Many afflictions can come throughout the lives, I know, of humanity in general, but there is one significant difference for the believer. The psalmist could testify, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We have to look forward. We have to gain perspective. There is a here and now. There is a then and there. And God will deliver us out of them all. Hallelujah. We have a great prospect. Let me ask you, what affliction are you going through right now? At school or in college or in workplace? As we view a few aspects of Joseph's life and note the severity of his afflictions, there is one overarching comfort we can draw from the whole pattern. When it's all finally revealed, we can know with assurance, according to Genesis 50 verse 20, God meant it for good. You say, well, I can't see that right now. I'm not asking you to look by sight. I'm asking you to look by faith in a God who has promised, a sovereign God, and trust him, and trust him. Joseph was fruitful, though rejected. Genesis chapter 37 covers this whole part of the story this morning, the longest bit that we have. So you know, when you get this over, the other 2 points are shorter. Joseph's brothers were consumed with anger. Look at the number of times they hated him even more. They hated him even more. They were consumed by envy Also, we read that in the chapter also that they were envious of him. And so they're consumed by this envy, this jealousy, because of his favored status. Jacob had placed upon Joseph this burden. We have to be careful the burden that we place upon other people, perhaps inadvertently, but nevertheless place upon them. Genesis 37, 3 and 4 particularly, we read those verses, do we not? If we had the right chapter, we would get it. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. They hated him. This favoritism, of course, included the coat of many colors. And a thing never to do, to spy on his brothers. You just keep an eye on her and tell me everything that she says. Not a good idea. Parents, not a good idea. And bring back a report of their activities through the day. Verse 2. So when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and they couldn't speak peaceably to him. And to make matters worse, Joseph foolishly shares his futuristic dreams where one day he is going to rule over his family and they're going to bow down to him. Listen, God may give you dreams. They're God-given dreams, or he may give you a word of knowledge imparted right to you, but there is a time and a place to share this. Even there may be a select group to share it with, as not everyone can handle some of the things that God will reveal to you. But when God shares something with you, pray about it. Do I hold this? Do I share it? Do I share it now? Do I share it later? I remember when we were building a new church in Blackpool. It was a very expensive project. And the money came in. God really blessed the project. The money was coming in. But there was this remaining £50,000 at the end of all, when everything was done. And I had applied to some Christian charities and some had given, but there were still some hadn't given and had letters of rejection. And I thought, maybe I should apply, look up again, go back into the library and look up some more Christian charities. And God spoke to me. And this is what he said. He said, I am not going to give from without until the person I have spoken to from within gives. And I thought, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but how do you want that addressed? And I really prayed about it, and more in my spirit, more and more in my spirit, the Lord was saying, you've got to tell the church. You've got to tell the church. I said, Lord, yes. That will really go down so well. But Sunday morning, having prayed so much about it, I said to the church, I said, look, God has really spoken to me. And we owe £50,000. But what he says is that he is not going to allow money to come from without until it is given from within. And I stopped there. I didn't want to personalize it any further than that. But immediately after the service, a man came to me and he said, God has spoken to me and I have withheld, and I'm sorry. He said, but I want to give that £50,000. There is a time to share and a time not to share. The revelation of God needs to be imparted with wisdom and after prayer. As envy and hatred simmers in the hearts of these brothers and it reaches boiling point, revenge grows within their hearts. And we see it in verses 8 through 11. Joseph's brothers, they exact this revenge on him because of their envy and reject him with an awful betrayal. Verses 12 through 31. And I want to say to you this morning, because there are some who may endure, there is no betrayal so painful like that of a family member, including that of a brother or sister in Christ. There is nothing so painful. David lamented that treachery in Psalm 55 when he said, for it is not an enemy that reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. But you betrayed me. We read in Genesis 37 that the brothers, they get their opportunity for revenge and they initially plan to kill Joseph. However, thanks to the intervention of Reuben and Judah, if we had read verses in between, they put him in a pit or a cistern and they sell him off as a slave. And verse 25 says that they actually started to have a meal. Don't you think for one moment that some who reject you and betray you will be sitting worrying about it and saying, it's awful what we've done. They sit and they have a meal. How hurtful. To be in a pit and realize your brothers, they're laughing and they're having a meal together. And eventually they sell him to this band of Midianite merchants who in turn they sell him in Egypt to Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. Verse 36. And because of his brother's rejection and betrayal, Joseph had lost all his rights. He'd lost all his privileges. He had seemingly lost his inheritance and now he is a slave. From a son to a slave. Losing everything, one can only imagine the pain, the loneliness that this young man goes through. It's certain that he would have been treated harshly, maybe viciously by the slave traders before he gets to Potiphar's house. And God, however, is with Joseph. And he gave him favor with Potiphar, as we read in verse 4 of Genesis 39. He begins to see the unique faith, the wisdom, the skills of this young Hebrew slave. And so Joseph's status had changed from being favored son to favored slave, as we read in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3. The Lord, it says, here's what the Lord was with Joseph. And that's what I want to get through to you this morning. If perhaps you're suffering at school or in college or you're suffering in the workplace or wherever it may be, or you have suffered and it still lingers within your mind and in your heart, the Lord was with Joseph and he's with you. He's with you. The Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's wonderful. The master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Genesis 39, 2 and 3. If you endure your suffering with grace and you continue steadfastly in your walk with God, there will be observable evidence in your life that God is with you. When the favor of God is upon your life, you can endure the pain and the affliction because you know that the God who is with you is the God who is the sovereign Lord. He is guiding you. He is sustaining your life. He is greater than all. And praise God, there is one who is greater than the devil, greater than Satan himself, greater than demons. He is greater than unfaithful men. He is God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. As Apostle Paul testifies to our encouragement, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the reality. Romans 8:31. The psalmist in Psalm 75, very encouraging verse of scripture to me, because I was at a stage in my life where, as a young Christian, I was persecuted by a particular sergeant. And he said to me, I will see that you will never go any further in this job. Well, that was a catalyst for me. I thought, you have no idea. And so I studied. I thought, you see, it could drive you either way. That's why I'm saying this. Could drive you either way. Either you say, well, that's it. I might as well give up. I might as well just resign. And because look at how it's going. But I was driven to study. And I studied and passed my exams. And I remember I picked up a little book, The Continual Burnt Offering by H.A. Ironside. The morning that I was going for a promotion board that I thought, I'll never get it. That's the chance. Nobody's ever been promoted this young anyway. So how could I get it? You know what it said? You know what the reading was for that morning? It was Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And I said, thank you, Lord. And you know, I walked into that promotion board in Belfast and I couldn't have cared less. Someone came out before me and said, it was awful. Oh, it was, what an awful interview. Oh, you have no idea. I said, it'll be fine. What was the basis for me saying that? The comfort the Holy Spirit brought me from that verse as I said, well, Lord, it's all in your hands. It doesn't matter whether I get it today or not. It matters not. And even when they asked me a question, in the midst of all the other questions, asked me a question, and I thought, oh, I should have read that. I haven't a clue. I said, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look that up. And at the end of it all, man in charge of the interview, he said, tell you what, he said, you're a young man. He said, always look after the men well. I walked out and I thought, what was that other guy talking about? These are lovely men. I had a lovely interview. And I thought, it doesn't matter. Well, I got it anyway. I was promoted. But it didn't matter because the promotion didn't belong to men. Promotion belonged to God. Promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one another and he exalts another. So Joseph is walking in the favor of the Lord, and as a result, Potiphar now puts Joseph in charge of his entire household, of everything that he owns. Verse 4 of chapter 39. And God in turn blesses the whole household of Potiphar because of Joseph. How wonderful. God has made him fruitful through rejection. Maybe you have been rejected by someone. God can still make you fruitful like he did for Joseph. Remember that the training, the skills that Joseph received, the character that was developed in him in Potiphar's house could not be developed any other way. They were equipping him for what he needed later to rescue God's chosen people, Egypt, and the surrounding nations. Wow, what a plan God had for him. And what a plan God has for your life, friend, this morning. Do you believe it? God can train us for greater things than we can ever imagine through the afflictions of life if we remain faithful, if we keep our focus on him, if we keep ourselves in his love, as exhorted in Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, secondly, Joseph was fruitful, though falsely accused. One thing that we always need to remember is that with success comes the next challenge. That you may be equipped for the next level of promotion that will come your way. When I got the second time, a high-ranking officer said to me, who was very anti-Christian, by the way, "You'll never go any further in this job." Well, it was all over disagreement, a simple disagreement. He wanted to cover up something. I said, "No, the truth is the truth." Guess what? The Lord did it again. Years later, I was doing a gospel mission 12 nights straight through in a little village called Lispelaw. Who walks in but that now retired high-ranking officer, smile on his face, saved by the grace of God. Saved by the grace of God. A new man. We need to be spiritually aware in order to discern which tests come from the Lord so that we embrace them with grace, and which ones come from the devil that we may resist him with the sword of the Spirit. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The crucible is for the silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." However, we are also warned in the scripture that the devil is our adversary, and so we are to be sober, we are to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So as Joseph began to prosper in Potiphar's household, a new and serious challenge arises on the horizon. Potiphar's wife began to get attracted to this handsome young Joseph, and tried to seduce him. We read in chapter 39, verses 6 and 7, and soon he is facing consistent and sexual harassment in his workplace, where God was blessing him and blessing the household because of him. Does this sound like life today? I'm sure for many of you it does. Sounds just like life. But God is with us. Eventually, when she thought she had trapped him into a compromising situation, Joseph runs away. We haven't time for all of that. But in chapter 39, verses 11 and 12 deals with that, because he didn't want either to hurt God or his master. What did he say? We'll read those verses. Chapter 39, verses 8 and 9. "But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he has into my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God. What a recognition by this young man. And as a result, Potiphar's wife exacts her full revenge on him, falsely accusing him, trying to molest her. Verses 13 through 19 of chapter 39. And because of her false accusation, Joseph ends up being thrown into prison. Chapter 39, verse 20. Character assassination is one of the most difficult challenges imaginable, as the cutting wounds of false accusations cut right to the heart. Some of you may have been there, or some of you may be there. Cutting accusations. How we handle it will determine how fruitful we will be through it, because Joseph does not grumble, he does not complain, but instead he just trusts in God. And the Bible says, again, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph and made him fruitful in the midst of his affliction. The God of Joseph, I'm here to tell you this morning, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. He will be with you. He will make you fruitful in the times of your affliction also, if you will, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I emphasize that. With the help of the Holy Spirit. To remain steadfast in your daily walk with him. Joseph now found favor with the prison warden, who in turn made him the chief administrator of all of the management decisions within the prison. We see in verses 21 to 23 of chapter 39, it says this, that the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Praise the Lord. He became fruitful through the affliction of false accusation. Lastly, Joseph was fruitful, though forgotten. He was fruitful, though forgotten. You see, as the story continues in Genesis chapter 40, the king's chief cupbearer and chief baker, they're thrown into the same prison as Joseph for what could have been a possible assassination attempt on the king, chapter 40, verses 1 to 3. And it was there that they come under Joseph's influence in chapter 40, verse 4. And during their time in the prison, guess what? They both have dreams. And when they were troubled over their dreams, Joseph interprets those dreams accurately in verses 4 through 19 of chapter 40. And the result is, in the final analysis, is that the cupbearer was restored back to his position while the chief baker was executed, exactly as Joseph had predicted in his interpretation of the dreams. However, verses 14 and 15 is where we find Joseph had pleaded with the chief cupbearer. He said, speak to the king's behalf, the king on my behalf when you get out. Well, he was released. And sadly, we read in chapter 40, verse 23, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Have you felt sometimes that you're just forgotten? Seems that everyone else, perhaps, in your eyes are remembered, but you are forgotten about. And you think nobody cares. Or if they do, they don't seem to. But listen, in fact, not only is he forgotten, But verse 1 of chapter 41, we read that his forgetfulness lasted 2 long years. 2 years. And Joseph was still trusting God, and he's still fruitful through the affliction of being forgotten. And when Pharaoh had a couple of troublesome dreams 2 years later, and some of his wise men couldn't interpret those dreams, the chief cupbearer's memory, all of a sudden, has bing, come to life. I can recommend someone. Oh, you see, while I was in prison, oh, that's 2 years ago, I forgot all about that. He interpreted my dream, and I was reinstated, and I was supposed to tell you. Oh, well, thank you very much. You could have remembered before 2 years, don't you think? And so as Joseph now stands before King Pharaoh, Pharaoh says to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. I love his response in Genesis 41, verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Oh, Joseph, you're still following God. You are still investing your faith in a God who has not disappointed you and will not disappoint you. Praise God. What about you, I wonder? Have you been, or do you feel that you have just been overlooked? Your hard work is just unnoticed, or a promise has been made to you, but it seems as though it's long since forgotten, perhaps by your boss, by your colleague, by a member of your family, and maybe you feel that the Lord has even forgotten about you. And I want to say to you this morning, be patient, keep trusting the Lord. He will lift you up at the right time. He has never forgotten you. He will never forget you. He is the God who promises, I will be with you. You know, this is a question raised by Zion and Isaiah 49:14. Zion said, has the Lord forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me? What does the Lord say? The Lord's response is an encouragement to me. Isaiah 49:15, he says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you. Thank you, Lord. And so after interpreting the king's dreams accurately, Joseph is released from prison. He's promoted to the second highest position in Egypt at the age of 30. Chapter 41, verse 46. And Joseph was assigned the task of saving the nation of Egypt, but in God's plan, also the nation of Israel. That's why he had to come all that way, go through all of that affliction to arrive at this point, so he could be the man whom God had chosen to save the nation and to save the world at large from famine that is about to strike, as we see in chapter 41, verse 37 through 40. And Joseph, being equipped in the school of adversity, being equipped in the school of affliction, he handled the task to perfection. How? Just by simply trusting God when he couldn't see the outcomes. Trusting a God who could see them. Walking with God through all of the circumstances. Chapter 41, verses 56 and 57. And in the process, he's used by God to bring restoration to his family and to save Israel and preserve her. And as a result, be a blessing to all the other nations also. Let me conclude. Let me finish. Let me wrap this up in a few seconds. Joseph, he acquired the skills needed for this massive operation through 13 years that he spent after being betrayed by his brothers, being purchased as a slave, residing in Potiphar's house, being wrongly accused, in prison, being forgotten, when surely that man should have remembered him. In these situations of affliction, I wonder who felt rejected, falsely accused, being forgotten, one or more are a real test for any man or any woman. And as he mentioned to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, here's where I finish. He said to them when they met, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And God can do the same for you this morning, because truly he makes us fruitful through our afflictions. God bless you this morning for that.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.